This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
It's brought to you by our buddies at Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw, and there were some unbelievable storylines around the NFL this weekend. First of all, of course, the heart-stopping action watching the Falcons hang on to beat Jameis on what was supposed to be, I don't know, the buck roller, whatever the hell that last play was they tried.
It was crazy. Be honest, though, as a Falcon fan, you were a little nervous, right?
Oh, you think?
I mean, when he throws the ball behind and he's trying to do the lateral and you're going, what is he doing? And then another buck player gets it, you're like, what's going on here?
And the laterals were all legal according to the video review.
All right, we did beat the Bucks. And some people, as some people have already said on the Twitter and social media, well, Falcons got Mike Smith fired again. Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator, fired today as the Bucs defensive coordinator. He was, of course, our head coach, guys, for a period of 5 years or so. And we like Mike Smith. Mike and I, we've talked about it. Mike was always good to us.
Right.
But when you get down to it, this defense for the Bucs, they drafted defense, Mike. They went out. They acquired JPP. You thought this defense would be a lot better than what it's played.
I mean, think about that. Gerald McCoy, JPP, you got,
Vita Vea.
Levante David, we already talked about, Quan Alexander. Those guys are good, and they just never had the secondary on the back end. I mean, Grimes does all he can, and I thought that for all the times that Julio only had a few at the end where he was a one-on-one. They did try to bracket him, but still, Mike defends Julio a little bit differently than other teams. Smitty's a good guy, but yes, I guess sacks do matter, Carl.
Yes, they do, Coach. Hey, real quick, so now that you got some free time on your hands, what are you going to be doing, Coach?
Great question. Jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, you're into that.
Got one of London Bridge right now. No, you know what? I'm not even going to do this because we like Smitty. This is so mean-spirited because, A, he's not even our coach. He's a defensive coordinator for the Bucks, and I actually got a Nike wedge from him and is closest to the pin contest to the coach's golf tournament.
Really? You're going to go back 4 years?
I've got a 60-degree Nike.
To a club you got at his tournament?
That I can't hit to this day, but I wonder it's... Wow, you're really pure at that one.
No,
thanks, Coach.
Listen, I said it. By the way, his golf tournament was off the chain. We had such a good time.
We used to do a closest to the pin afterwards where guys, and we'd all bust chops on the radio. We really do. We love Smitty. He had great success here. Got the franchise back on track with Dimitrov's draft picks, but unfortunately, obviously, all things like this, coaches get hired to get fired, and here again it happens for the guy.
All right, man, another NFL news since Mike didn't want to do Mike.
I just feel dirty, man, and it takes a lot to make me feel dirty.
That's true. Let's talk about last night, Sunday Night Football. If you missed it, if you watched the first half, or even if you glance at the score, you went, wow, Patriots, they're handling Patrick Mahomes. Kid's not as good as we thought. Belichick doing what he's done. Guys, this came down to a game-winning field goal, literally.
Ryan turns toward Gostkowski, not at Cardona. The snap and play. Swing the right leg. Kick left into the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And the Patriots prevail 43-40.
What is that, Wally Whitebread? And his partner, Mr. Mayonnaise? What the heck? Wow.
No comment.
What a great victory for your Patriots.
Chiefs had 9 points at the half. Right?
Then Mahomes got it together.
They did. I mean, they score 17 in the third, 14 in the fourth quarter. Mahomes, guys, throws for 352 and four touchdowns. Now, he did throw for two picks, but in the first half, you thought they had contained him, and the kid made the adjustments and got his team back into the game.
Man. And I love the answer. No one would give a straight answer on that touchdown throw that Tyreek Hill grabbed. Was it for Hill? Was it for Kareem Hunt? Either way, the guy just making plays. And Tyreek Hill, the cheetah. How much fun is watching him go down the sidelines? You know, they don't have a lick of defense on the Chiefs, but doesn't it kind of show the Patriots have a hard time with this team as well? I mean, Chiefs are going to have to find some kind of defensive stoppage or a way to get the Patriots off the field if this is indeed a harbinger of an AFC Championship game.
It could be, and that's the other thing. Do you really have to – do you want to go up there for the AFC Championship game? We say it all the time. That's why that game, that head-to-head, such a big deal.
I think, look, the Chiefs have got everything in place. Wide receiver, running back, and the quarterback who's going to be the next big thing for years. They got to get that defense dialed in, man.
Hey, the Panthers in our division, guys, they took another L. It was against the Redskins. It was not a division foe, but Cam Newton had a chance to win the game at the end.
Fourth and five at the Redskins 16 for Carolina. Got to stop him here. 38 seconds to play. Cam Newton from the shotgun takes. Throws it out to their right side. Incomplete! Incomplete! And the Redskins hold the Panthers.
I don't know if you guys saw it. You see Josh Norman yapping at the end of this one?
Yeah.
Trying to talk to Cam. Cam's like, man, get out of my face. Go on, man.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that's a thing now? Because, you know, Josh, you know, you basically, you got played last week by the Saints, and now you want to be all tough guy again. Okay. Meanwhile, speaking of talking trash, how about Jalen Ramsey? Dude, if you're going to run your mouth all season long, when you get humiliated by the Dallas Cowboys, you got to answer a few questions, man.
Cole Beasley, 9 receptions, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns for the Dallas Cowboys. They went 40-7. It was a beatdown.
Ass beat.
How much of a shock is it that this defense comes out and gets their ass beat, considering the talent he does?
You guys have played together a lot as a secondary. How do you kind of explain some of the blown assignments that you guys had early in this game?
Coach said that he felt like it wasn't an effort issue. It was a miscommunication issue. Do you agree with that?
Jalen, what challenge did Cole Beasley pose today?
Defense usually plays with, you know, a lot of swagger and confidence. What needs to happen to kind of get you guys mojo back?
I don't know.
Hey, you got what it takes in this room to kind of regroup and get back on track?
Yeah, we'll see.
Is this still the best defense in the NFL?
We ain't playing like it.
There you
First
go.
Time in 2016, you thought the Cowboys would take you instead of Zeke. Did you have a chance to talk to Zeke today?
How big is this one coming up with Houston at home, division game?
The next one.
Is your guys' pride wounded a little bit?
You personally, I mean, have you experienced a loss like this?
I don't remember.
Thanks,
Jalen. Really?
Look, and for those who don't remember, here's a guy who started with a magazine article where he called out half the NFL is chumps and busters. And now here's your moment, bro. If you're going to run your yapper, you got to take it in defeat as well. And he was giving you no more than 3 syllables, Carl, per answer.
Really?
No balls.
No balls, man. Come on, player. I mean, all that stuff you were talking in the summer, now you get your defense gets abused, and all I get is, I sound like my grandma.
Jalen, a rapping white wide receiver, Cole Beasley, burned you for 2 touchdowns. Your thought?
Really?
And then Bortles was hot garbage, but that's not his department. So, Jalen Ramsey.
Who?
Yeah. So you had Bortles in your fantasy league.
Unbelievable.
By the way, if you had Ito Smith and Taylor Gabriel as I did, you went to work in a limo today. Thank you. Little guys coming through. But no, man, it was a very wild weekend over in London. Raiders looked just awful. John Gruden,
there was a game in London?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it.
I didn't realize it either. Seahawks get it done. They're bounced back to 3-3. Bears fall in Miami, which is kind of inexplicable, with Brock Osweiler coming in as Tannehill couldn't go.
Yeah, it was a crazy game, too. Now, I watched this. I had it on the red zone. This game was crazy. I mean, the Dolphins should have won the game in overtime, and they cough it up on the 1-yard line. Bears get it back. They go down, they miss a field goal, and then the Dolphins get it, and they kick the game-winning field. It was crazy.
There is only one undefeated team left in the NFL. It's the L.A. Rams, who got it done against the Broncos, and they look like they could go a long way before losing a game, brother.
Hey, coming up, guys, we've got our NFL, or check that, we've got Dan Quinn coming up with the press conference live from Flowery Branch, and also we will react to his presser. We are waiting to find out the latest on Matt Bryant, our kicker.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
And 92.9thegame.com. 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere. On radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now. At radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We are awaiting Dan Quinn. to make his way to the podium up at Flowery Branch. Before we get to that, though, we're going to give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
college. College is the code word. 72881 is the number you texted to. My college.
Always think of John Belushi wearing the college sweatshirt in Animal House. College. 72881. That's the word, brother. College. And then, guys, be looking for a phone call because it could be the guys from the company with $1,000 for you. We've given away a couple grand already. College. Text that to 72881. That is the word for hour number three.
Do not text and drive. You! Don't text and drive. All right. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com. It's a Falcon Monday, guys. It is Dukes and Bell, and we appreciate all the tweets again and all the social interaction with our Hey Man L. So many guys over the weekend maybe trying it for the first time, getting their hands on it. Want to give a big shout-out to all the men and women. Had some ladies tweet to me, Mike, at Georgia Tech enjoying the homecoming game. Having a couple of Hey Man L's.
So, yeah, I saw
so
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we had some Hey Man down at St. or up, I should say, at St. Marlowe, play golf with Andy Bunker the other day, and a Bunky Pants, a couple of Eagle putts. Man, that guy's on fire. Don't play money with him. He'll take your money playing golf. But no, man, had a great time and got to drink some Hey Man. Guys were asking about us on the golf course, and we really appreciate it. There's more sites than ever where you can get it. Go online, guys. You can go to Oconee Brewing or go to Dukes and Bell or go to Put them up, C-Dukes or Mike Bell ATL, to see all the different locations that have got it on draft or in the can.
I literally went in a package store just to see if they had it this weekend. My intention was not to buy it. My intention was to see if they had it. I walk in, and there's a guy named Mike, the guy up front. I don't know what his name was. So I asked the gentleman, I said, excuse me, you guys carry Hey Man? The guy's like, Mike, we got any Hey Man? Literally in the store. So Mike comes back. He shows me six cases left.
Nice.
They had, Mike, they had probably, he said, 30 or 40 cases of Hey Man. Six cases left. He goes, this is all I've got. He doesn't know who I am. He goes, it's a hot item. I go, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Product is hot.
Yeah, I went to Max. We went and saw the movie on Friday. Went and saw First Man. And I made a run by Max Liquors here in Midtown. And they had a bunch of cases. I love the display. They got our stuff right out front because everybody wants it. So get a piece of the original. Remember, guys, accept no cheap imitation. Dukes and Bell, Hey Man Ale. It's from Oconee Brewing, and it's good.
It is. You know who else was good is Matt Ryan. I want to give you some numbers, and I'm going to let you hear this touchdown pass, which kind of got things started for the Falcons. But when you look at Matt Ryan's numbers, 1,955 yards, 14 touchdowns, two picks, none in the last four games. We'll tell you the rest of those numbers coming up. But, oh, hold on. We were about to go to the podium live, and then I just got to stop.
I was going to say, it's a dramatic pause right
stop.
There.
Stop. All right, we're going to hear from Dan Quinn coming up. Here's the rest of those numbers. Two interceptions, none in the last four games for Matt Ryan is what I was saying. 113 passer rating and a 69% completion rate for Matt Ryan. He's playing great.
Matt, you can't ask for more guys right now, certainly. And he's running when he's got to run and making decisive runs, too. Also, waiting to see if Dan can give us any light about Matt Bryant. That hamstring looked awful as he hobbled off the field. What's up with Sanu and certainly with Calvin Ridley? Because you're going to have to score a ton of points against these Giants on Monday night, one would imagine.
All right, as we await Coach Quinn, I was going to let you hear a highlight, but we'll hold out on that because I don't want to have to cut the highlight in the middle when Coach Quinn could be walking to the podium. As Bo was just in my ear, he's going, man, he's going. Stop! Okay. All right, that's what I heard in my ear.
This is like a submarine because we got a guy.
He's going, man.
Eric the engineer is up at Flowery Branch. He goes, Dan Quinn is coming to the podium. Dan Quinn's coming to the podium. It's like Roger, Torpedo Base 1 and 2. Anyway, we're waiting on Coach.
Here he comes, man. Stop! All right, Bo, thank you. That's what I just got in my ear. Okay, thank you. All right, guys, we're going to talk
the USS Ballistic Missile Submarine, the USS Kenny Saw.
More about Coach Quinn and what he has to say following up this win. Let's hear from Coach Quinn.
It's time for the Dan Quinn Press Conference on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
County team here with us at practice on Saturday and at the game on Sunday. I thought it was a great reminder in difficult times. That's in life, you get to stand up, you know, next to one another. And the win felt good for lots of reasons, but especially felt good for them. And I know they had a big win on Friday night as well. So now we can get started with the game and lots to discuss from yesterday. For the last few weeks, you've heard me talk about improvement as a team, and we're going after that hard and finding the areas we want to improve upon. I thought yesterday you've heard me talk about ball hawking, and so for us to, you know, finish the game at +2, I thought that was a, you know, significant improvement for us. The communication was certainly something that we pushed hard on, and that was also something defensively that I was happy with. Offensively, I thought those winning time moments, the 2 minute at the half, I thought Matt and the guys executed that flawlessly to give a chance to kick a field goal there at the end of the half, which proved to be such an important part of the game. And then I thought the scoring drives in the last two possessions after a difficult third quarter, you know, really led the way. So you've heard me talk on those winning times and owning those moments and learning about them. And then on the team side of things, we'd certainly put a lot of time into punt and our kickoff coverage. And to see a tackle inside the 15-yard line-ish and Gage and the others. And then on the punt side, you know, I was happy with the Gunners. It was good to have Bethel back. He certainly brings a lot of speed and toughness to the unit. So, and I can't say enough about Matt Bryant and the kick he had in the fourth quarter. He is one of the toughest players I've coached. Not one of the toughest kickers, one of the toughest players. And I think that's important to note. Injury-wise, Matt Bryant, talking about him, he strained his hamstring. That'll likely knock him out this week. Freeman's still dealing with the groin from the Pittsburgh game. That'll likely knock him out this week. And then Thursday I'll have a better assessment for you from Grady, Jarrett, Derek Shelby, Calvin Ridley, and Mohamed Sanu. So it's nice to have an extra day this week in terms of our preparation as we're heading towards our game Monday night. Now I'm more than glad to open it up to your guys' questions.
Coach, you said, you know, getting the win, a little relief that comes over while y'all continue to work on things and put stuff together?
For sure, you have to build on momentum. And what I was really looking for, especially coming off the Pittsburgh game, could we play more physical? I wanted to see that part come to life. And I thought from a line of scrimmage standpoint, our tackling, the speed that we played with, it certainly took steps in the right direction. So now we got to build on that. Like I said, I was encouraged by some of the things that I saw. Sometimes when you get, you know, we had two receivers, you know, get injured during the game. And so to see other men step up in those roles, that's football. But at the same time, you want to see it happen. And they did that yesterday. So I was definitely encouraged by that. I thought Hardy took on a bigger role. Hall did. Gage got, you know, some more reps in there. So that's a deep group. And, you know, to see those guys come through, you know, that was a big part of it for sure.
Do you need to get a roster move for the place kicker position, you know, assuming Matt can't go?
Right. So the guys are working on that now, and, you know, likely we'll, you know, add another player to the roster for Thursday.
You think you bring back the kid, Giorgio, that you had in the preseason?
Warmer. No, we'll see. There's a couple guys that we're talking to, but he's certainly one. We have I think coming in, like, and part of the reason of bringing some guys in is, you know, contingency planning. If this situation ever came about, you'd like to be prepared for it. And, you know, just the leg strength. He was also a kickoff man, the accuracy that he had. So he was somebody that we definitely, you know, had on our radar. At each position, you kind of have a few guys that you would, you know, reach out to if those situations came up. So, you know, he's definitely one that we're considering.
A kicker or two, is it, hey, one guy goes 4 for 5, one guy goes 5 for 5, the guy goes 5 for 5, gets the gig, or is it more of a body of work than the immediate pressure of having him in during the week?
Yeah, definitely the body of work. And when you're assessing the guy, having that kind of information helps, you know, at each spot, at each distance. I think if you had known either of them, and let's say they were both rookies, then I think at the workout, you may go to that spot to say, you know, who's, you know, looks more alive coming out, and you move them to different spots, and how they even handle the pressure of a workout. Sometimes having two kickers at the workout or three is a good thing, because can they just keep focus on what they have to do and not like, okay, well, Zach missed one, I'm okay. You know, it's just about you and your mindset. So, but it would be really, if you had, the more information you have, the better.
But it's like 20 yards.
Just to really, you know, everything inside of extra point. Okay, we'll keep you in mind. Don't turn your phone off.
I know we've talked a lot about the missed tackles and, you know, correcting those issues and stuff. Yep. Like that, a couple questions I had.
Sure.
For you. First of all, when guys get penetration in the backfield but don't get it, do you look at that as a positive, hey, they disrupted the play, or do you say, hey, you know what, you still should have made the tackle?
Both. We definitely look at it like the more disruptive you can, and especially at the defensive line spot or on a blitz, you know, when you're really, you know, or getting up the field and knocking guys back and making the play have to change, we still count it as a missed tackle or a missed sack. But we definitely, you know, encourage that, you know, part of our style. So we definitely want to see that.
Does it bother you more when a guy just totally whiffs or when a guy gets trucked? You know what I'm saying?
Equally bad. Yeah, I would say if he gets trucked, then he makes the tackle, right?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, then both are just as bad. Okay. Like if you got trucked and run over, but you made the tackle, I would say I definitely would choose that one. But if both of them miss, then that's like which one's the best or the worst? I don't care. Neither are good.
And the reason I'm asking about this tackle, of course, is Saquon Barkley. He's near the top of the league in yards after contact. So, of course, this is going to be another emphasis this week. Can you talk about that with him?
Yeah, and for like I said last week, I didn't think it was a unit-wide issue, but, man, we still have work to do for there. And that kind of lights me up in a good way, especially as a teacher and a coach, because I know those are things that we're going to keep working and improving on as we're going. And you can be sure of that to happen. So I do know about Barkley's speed. Yeah, that was evident on tape, for him coming out of Penn State, even when a good player had an angle on him. And almost all the defensive players, if they were playing Penn State, I had that game on because I wanted to see them against somebody who was really talented in that area.
You talked a little bit about the things that you liked in the game, but last week you talked a lot about how important running the ball would be.
Yep.
I know the offensive line was a lot better in pass protection, but
correct.
Running the ball is still only 70 yards. What did you see on tape that you want to make sure that you guys get going this week?
Yeah, for sure. And there was a lot of improvement, I thought, from the offensive line spot. They really pressured more, and a number of them were, unscouted looks and some new pressures, different things that we hadn't seen before. So I thought, good job by the backs and by the offensive line. And quite honestly, by Matt, there was a couple times, and I showed it in the team meeting today, no flinch. I know I'm going to get hit here, and I'm putting the ball up to Julio or whomever it was on that play. I thought that showed a lot of toughness. As far as the runs go, I like that we're taking our shots and going. But when we get knocked back, we had one penalty that takes you back. And those opportunities, you just got to nail them when they come through. So we're going to stick to it. We know we've got the right scheme and the right guys to fit into it, but we've got work to do, much like we were talking about tackling. That part needs extra attention, and we're certainly going to devote the time to it on both topics. It's that important.
Whoever's guarding Julio in practice, is that a kind of looking in the mirror and preparing them for someone like Odell?
Different. I would say the same type of explosiveness, off the line. But quite honestly, all the guys have different stuff that you go against. And as a coach, it's a lot of fun because different teams present different challenges. And it's not just Odell there. And as we were referring to earlier with Barkley and their tight end, the speed they have in Ingram. So they've got real speed at different spots. And so when you go against an offense like ours in practice with different guys to go. So Tevin runs like a receiver out of the backfield oftentimes, the speed that he plays with. So for the linebackers, the safeties, the corners, it's a good matchup, and it's really why we do so much good on good. We do it on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. It's just for those purposes, and I get into the game. I've had the exact, it's not a game rep, but it's at the highest level we can make it and the most stress you can put the guys under. So we like doing that a lot.
Foye, so he had 40 snaps.
Correct.
I believe that's an increase of what he has had.
Is that
a good indication?
It was. And we were encouraged by what we saw from him. I think you saw Ish take some. You saw Bruce even have a few. And so that was by design to make sure we could keep guys rolling and play at the speed that we'd like to play. You've heard me talk about Foye for a while, and now that he's fully healthy, it was good to see him get back in action and get going. And I was very impressed by Ish on the goal line play and the tackle that he made. A linebacker group overall, I feel like, they're making improvement as we're going. And if there's a guy that has a unique skill for a certain situation, we're going to try to utilize him. And I think that's probably the case there with Foye. We put him in the base wheel package, and we're going to do more of it.
There was a play early on in the game where Mack and Vic were lined up on the same side next to each other. What's the benefit of having those two guys, rushing from the same side?
Right. I've used a package similar to that before, and sometimes when you can put two guys like that who have that kind of speed together, it really causes some difficulties for the offensive guards, where at times they may be blocking the bigger guys, and now here's a 260-pound guy who can really come screaming off the ball. And so pass rush stunts that go along with that help, and oftentimes it may even help another position if they're going to put attention to one side, can open up ops for another. So it's something that we're going to continue to we'll use it every game, but there's certainly times and matchups that you want to go after that's good for it.
And then the two-point conversion, the play the Tack makes
yeah.
on Jameis, is that an example of the
growth that he's having from kind of a read the play, develop standpoint?
It was, and I thought we talked about a couple of plays that were those moments that come up. They missed an extra point early on, and then so to stop that two-point conversion and the interception in the red zone, those are points off the board. And that play in particular with Tack, I think it really highlighted and really, you know, kind of isolated his speed. And so he kind of read it and got outside the tight end. And more often than not, quarterbacks will go out to that way. So it's an important side, especially there's like certain alerts that come up down the red zone if you're a left end or a right end or what part of the field you're on. And it was good to see him make that kind of, you know, that kind of play. The team needed it.
What did you think of Jack Crawford's game yesterday?
You know, I thought it was improved over the last couple of weeks. I've seen Jack continue to get better. And he's always had the ability to really get off the ball and penetrate. He plays upfield. And then now what we're seeing is the instincts, the recognition with more play time. And he's been a, you know, somebody that, although it may not show up on the stat sheet, his game is improving as it's going. So we're hopeful that we have Grady back this week, and he'll still have a big role with us. But to have the experience over the last few weeks with Grady being out and being the lead dog into that role, I think that's been good for him.
How'd you rate his spin move then?
You know, he's awful big to spin, so we'll send it to the spin doctor, Dwight, and see if he can grade it. He got free, and he jumped up one time and didn't think he made the play, and just sometimes, you know, you're right there for the sack. So we call those don't miss the layups, and Brooks Reed had one as well. So we got a lot of work to do, but it's not all stat-related for us. It's fundamentals, it's technique, it's pass rush, it's communication, it's working together. Some things I couldn't measure if I was to put them on a stat sheet in front of you, but I know the improvement is there, and it starts from a communication side, you know, and I thought KZ certainly did a good job with that, adding the depth at linebacker has been that. I was, you know, encouraged to see Means and, you know, Michael Bennett have an increased role in the game. So to see some of these guys gain some momentum, that's been good for us. And it'll only provide dividends now as we get deeper and stronger. When we get a couple of these defensive linemen back, we'll have a pretty strong group ready to go attack.
A few of the guys told us yesterday they were sensing there was going to be a great game because it was really chippy in practice. A lot of trash talk, a lot of guys getting into it. Are you okay with that when it's authentic and not forced and, you know, kind of?
Yeah, we try to really walk as close to that line as we can. We devote a day to just competing in everything that we're doing. So we keep score in lots of drills. We keep score in periods and almost anything you could think of, we try to keep score at. And so that kind of, I would say, urgency and intensity is needed. And, you know, like you get to that point where, like, you need it. And I think this is a team that needed it. I've always felt good about their preparation and how could we ramp it up, because obviously we needed to ramp them some things up, and I thought they answered that challenge well. And they're such a good group and a close group that that's okay. You know, they like to compete against one another too.
Is there anything that's surprised you at all? I know you talked about him a couple of times, but anything surprised you about Ido that you didn't see when you looked at him coming out?
I knew he was a good open field runner, and I knew he could really cut. Probably what I didn't know is that his balance. And there was a play yesterday almost all the way down, you know, towards the ground and hand down. He just fights for the extra yards in that way. And so I would say the balance of him would be the one of the things. All good running backs have it, but some guys have it where it's laterally and they can try to, you know, change direction and break somebody off, and he has that. But as he's on his way down to the ground, the play's not over, and I like that about him.
One other thing for me, as far as the
Reiner running back. Said last question. No, I'm just kidding. We'll go for a couple more. I'm fine. I got time.
Might have been him, but I know definitely Tevin. Let's pick up. You know, I know Tevin had a great one. It seemed like he did. And how do you?
Yeah, I pointed that out in the meeting today. You know, and I thought that part of our game showed the physicality. And as a running back, you're trying to demonstrate toughness with and without the ball. And so on those occasions, I was really glad to see Tev. You saw the one. I think it was coming off the offensive left side. And Ido had one as well. So it's been, as we've been talking about, what are some of the areas that players are trying to grow and develop in the protection side for the running backs. And specifically, that's been one of their targets.
And I was just looking ahead to the Giants. How much work have you done on Eli? And, you know, are you Eli versus the line, or just look like they have some real issues on them?
I, uh, I got a little bit ahead, and some of that, you know, we maybe do at the end of the week. Sometimes I'll look ahead and see who they have. So I haven't got all the way into it, so I know I've got work to do in that spot. But I do know the speed with which they have, and that part jumps out to me pretty clearly. A number of those guys we had liked, you know, coming up, and, you know, we talked about the tight end from Ole Miss, and I think anybody who's watched Odell play knows how explosive he is, and then the running back as well.
Just day after on Ridley, how's he holding up?
For the most part, the guys who got banged up is Cal, Mo, who didn't finish. Both those guys, they looked like, as they came in today, I'm definitely hopeful as they get the treatment in going. This extra day for this week will definitely be an advantage for us. Knowing in football world, like a whole day is like, that's a big deal. And so we'll have a better assessment for Thursday. But and I'm also encouraged for Derek and for Grady, and we'll see where they go. I know Derek and Grady in specific have been two that have just jumped out to me how hard they're going, like, you know, clawing and scratching to get their opportunity to get back in. Both of them, Derek did a little bit of practice. Grady, you know, worked to the side and was running, but they weren't ready for last week. And if they are this week, that would be a sign of how hard they're working to get back with their guys. And I know they're putting the time and the effort in for sure.
Finally, I know Ridley gets all the headlines from your rookie class, but can you speak to the class as a whole,
right?
Kind of forced into the roles that they've had throughout the
right for. Of the drafted, I think there's, you know, the drafted guys, I think all of them are active. And so when Thomas and I were selecting those players during the draft, we kind of had a real specific role of, you know, likely what they would be. And I can remember telling him what that player's role, I think, could be, you know, on the season. And all of them, all the way down through Foyer and Russ and playing on teams and at linebacker and the depth they'd have into Isaiah, you know, where he'd be an outside player, and the way we'd use Ito as the third back, and then due to injury, you know, that kind of got stepped up. And the big question was, okay, how would he handle an expanded role? And I think he's answered that challenge quite well in terms of his knowledge of the offense and his ability. As a running back, usually the run game comes pretty easily to them because it's learning the tracks and going that, and they've been doing that for, you know, quite a while. It's the pass protection, especially in the NFL, that can really be difficult to master, and he's put the time in there. Sanat's been somebody inside that, you know, early on, or he has had such a good mentor in Grady and talking to him and helping him get there. So I'm encouraged as a group. They're a real mature group. We get together weekly to discuss some leadership topics and things to go through, and that's part of my development program with them. And how do they support and how do they lead in their own ways? So I continue to see these guys get better. We're not even, you know, near the halfway mark, and I'm seeing the improvement. And with a young group, you see it happen faster, and I think they've got a big window to jump again.
Thank you.
All right, you guys have a good one.
All right, thanks.
There it is, Coach Quinn up at Flowery Branch. We are Dukes and Bell. It is a Falcon Monday. Mike and I will come back, react to some of the things that we just found out, including the Falcons will sign a kicker this week due to the injury of Matt Bryant. More ahead.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
And 92.9thegame.com.
Happy Monday, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. It's a Falcon Monday. And Dan Quinn just had his live press conference here on 92.9 The Game. Now, we found out some information we've all been kind of waiting on. I tweeted it out earlier that sources had said Matt Bryan, to me, would be out 2 to 3 weeks. Dan Quinn said he will definitely be out this week. My guess is, guys, it probably will be because, you look, if you play it by the book and you say they play the Giants Monday night, Mike, then you get the bye.
Right.
That's 2 weeks before you have to come back November 4th, which would be 3 weeks. So I think that's about probably right for Matt Bryan. Either way, unfortunate news because Bryan has been so money for us, money Matt Bryan, our kicker. And then again, he's already saying Freeman out this week. I mean, there's no waiting till Wednesday or Thursday. He did I miss that, guys? He said Freeman out this week.
He also said a growing injury, which, remember last week, originally it was a
that's contusion a new one?
On the foot. No, at the end of the week when they rolled him out, they mentioned the groin as well.
But groin, it's one syllable.
Oh, thank you, Michael. But originally it was a foot contusion from the Steelers game, but then that other injury, which Mike can say properly for me since it annoys him so much.
Groin. Groin. Hey,
you've gotten better at it. Carl used to say groin. Yeah, yeah. That's they say that in Texas.
That's how we say it in Texas. But two syllables, groin.
Everything's bigger in Texas, groin. Including the groin.
Yeah.
When they rolled him out on Friday,
yes,
they did say that was a part of the part of it as well.
Okay.
Right. But now, one thing that did come up, though, when it was brought up by one of the media members there was the blitz pickups and how effective it was. And it was better. And in one case, you actually were more of the hammer than the blitzing linebacker in the case where Tevin Coleman picked one up. I thought did a great job. Not sure, man. I mean, if this continues with Free, how are you not going to go to him and say, look, we got to restructure your deal? I mean, that's another problem down the road, but Free's giving us absolutely nada right now.
No. And I said this Friday, Mike, it's a concern. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not. Now, it's a concern from the standpoint of the money you invested in him and the return on investment. It's not a concern this week because we have two capable running backs that are doing a really good job. And
right,
as a matter of fact, Dan Quinn, you know, talked about Ito Smith, and he said he's impressed with Ito Smith's balance and impressed with Coleman and Smith's blitz pickup, which is what Mike was talking about. Those are positives. Here are a couple of other injury updates, guys. And coming up at 4 o'clock, it's Wes Durham and Dave Archer with the Coach's Show. And then the player segment today is Desmond Trufant, who I thought played really well yesterday. Update on Sanu. Coach said he's hopeful. All right, Sanu left the game yesterday. He did score a touchdown, but he leaves early. He said he's hopeful for Grady this week. And Calvin Ridley, the MRI, apparently came back clean. It is a bone bruise, and that he's hopeful for Calvin Ridley to return. Now, the word hopeful doesn't mean they'll play, but that's much better than we don't expect to see him.
Yeah, Wednesday would be the first day we'd normally get it, but this is, remember, guys, a Monday night game. So Thursday, that's what Dan kept referring to. Thursday, that's when you'll get that first injury report. So we'll see. I know there was the kid, Giorgio, was it DeVecchio, the kid we brought in that would kick for Cal, and he bounced around the NFL as like kind of like number of teams. And there was also the dude who had kicked at Georgia that was there earlier in the summer. So, you know, they've got a couple of guys. They got options. But, yeah, it was David Marvin was a guy that had transferred to UGA, right? And then he was the one that Rodrigo beat out, and he just never really – nothing ever became of him. So, I don't know. The name that a couple of us brought up, is it Carlson, the young man who played for Auburn? He was drafted by Minnesota. He couldn't win the job with the Vikings. He was absolutely automatic for the Auburn Tigers in his career, one of the best college kickers in history. But, I mean, these are some of the names that are out there on the float. The Falcons obviously have a few guys already in their mind.
Well, you're going to bring in a guy, you know, again, it's not Matt Bryant, but can he be consistent for the first couple of, you know, 2 weeks or however long he's going to be here while we're still trying to get back into this? And the last thing you want, Mike, is to be in one of these games and it comes down to that, right? Well, a field goal potentially to win. Now, we know it's the NFL and it could, but you want to feel confident. And whoever they bring in, they better feel pretty confident about that because the way our game's been going, it could easily come down to that.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, it's like, gosh, the last thing you need now is to not have Mr. Automatic in the game because, look, Saquon Barkley's going to get his. You know, and Dan, I think you had a positive spin on the linebacker core. I think they're getting better, but still they're missing way too many tackles. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
Too much, too many angles and pursuit that are not the way we were used to seeing it with Debo. But certainly, guys, you're going to have to get Saquon Barkley on the ground. Eli Manning, I mean, look, they should have just, you know, gotten rid of him. They got Saquon Barkley. They're going to have to go find a quarterback next year. But he is literally, Carl, in the truest sense of the word in New York, dead man walking. But you'll have a bunch of New York Giants fans that will be down here next Monday night in Mercedes-Benz. Saquon Barkley will be doing his thing. So we're going to have to be able to get a couple of stops. I think of the same blueprint we saw for the Bengals game. Unfortunately, we were able to execute it, or weren't able to execute it that week, Carl. But what we did against Tampa Bay, isn't that our lot in life now, the rest of the season?
Well, I think so. But, you know, the way you take Saquon Barkley out of the game is do what you just did against the Bucs. You put up 21 points, and all of a sudden that running the football and trying to run clock, that stuff doesn't work. You got to get back into the game.
But he can also bust for 80 yards. That's the thing. He's almost an extension of the throwing game.
Well, and he's such a good wide receiver. Yeah. But I think just physically handing the ball off and him getting the ball 25 times and maybe keep him close because you don't trust what's going on with their offense or the protection for Eli. I mean, here's the thing. Everybody's been seemingly getting after Eli, and we're going to have all week to talk about this. Are we going to be able to? I'm watching everybody else get after the Giants and Eli running for his life. Are we going to be able to do that? Because that, Mike, is the key.
And that's one of the things that Dan Quinn was asked about, and I'm glad somebody asked because I thought it looked good. We've seen it before, and Dan Quinn says you're going to continue to see Vic and Tack together on the same side.
Yes, please.
Which, again, prevents matchup issues because as opposed to having the larger defensive tackle, now you got a more athletic guy that can beat a guard and maybe get in there and get on the quarterback. So let's see where that goes. Brooks Reed, I mean, the guy just keeps on doing his job. And if you notice, D-Led had the snap count out there. I think, you know, all the guys you'd expect to be out there, and I think the way we rotated defensively, Sanat maybe not out there as much as we thought he might have been, and boy, wouldn't that be a huge boost if Grady Jarrett can come back for the Giants on Monday night.
So we've got some injuries to overcome. We've known that. Add Matt Bryant and to the list, but that's fine. At least we know. There's no, well, he may be, he may not be. He's not out this, not going to be out there this week. We know that for sure on Monday night, and then we'll go from there. I still think it'll be 2 to 3 weeks, but either way, if you said Sanu, Grady, and Calvin can come back, that's a big plus. You guys can chime in, 404-741-0929. That is the number. And here's what's crazy. All these injuries, and we're still in these games. We're not getting blown out. We're not getting humiliated. All right? The game that was really frustrating, and again, it was the Pittsburgh game, which was in hand, and then it wasn't. First half, right. And then the second half was completely different. But with all these injuries, we're still in games. And as a matter of fact, yesterday was in control of the game.
Yeah, 13-10, we were down to Pittsburgh, and then they blew it. I mean, the Bengals one is the one that really drives me crazy, the Saints. But, hey, doesn't matter. The good news is, with the exception of the Rams, we just saw the Redskins do us a favor. They beat the Panthers in the NFC South in this division. They're now 3-2 out of the Redskins. The Giants, as we said, they've struggled. You watch any of the Giants, they're on almost every night. You know, on a national game, I should say, you're going to see them in the afternoon or on Sunday. They're horrible, Carl. Their offensive line is brutal. And it's amazing that Barkley can still do some of the things that he is doing right now. So the Giants, and again, we're not in any way, shape, or form pencil in W's, but New York, the Redskins, the Browns. I hate to see the Cowboys get confidence in the passing game this week, though, because we got them coming up too.
Well, that'll be, you know, week 10 back at Mercedes-Benz. It's a 1 o'clock game. But if you get to the point where we're talking about the Cowboys and we've rolled off a few, Mike, we're in a really good spot. And guys, believe it or not, I know it's hard to look at the record and go, well, yeah, but we're 2-1 in the division. And so we're a game up in the division with games still to play, obviously, against the Saints, as we talked about, Thanksgiving night. You got the Panthers at the end of December, actually December 23rd, and then you finish the season against the Bucks. You still have control of the division, which gets you to the playoffs.
And again, guys, getting Deion Jones back. And Squid, we're pretty sure it's the Cowboys game. If not, it would be the Thanksgiving night game against the Saints down in New Orleans. But how big a boost would that be to get Debo back in the defense? If you can just stay, you know, keep your head above water, get back to around 500. I mean, I know it seems like the wouldas and the couldas and the ifs. The good news is Matt Ryan and the offense is still doing a great job, despite not really establishing the run game.
No, and yesterday, you know, Ryan, again, 300 yards. He looked the part, guys, and we've been saying this about Matt Ryan. Here's the irony for Matt. If we had a winning record, we would be talking about Matt Ryan in the MVP conversation again. But because we don't and we've struggled, the numbers, you know, it kind of looks a little bit empty. We know they're not because he's keeping us in games with his arm and doing the things that he's doing right now. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. As we mentioned, Coach's Show coming up, as we do on Mondays, as Wes and Dave get a chance to sit down with Coach. And then the player segment is Desmond Trufant. We will come back at 5 o'clock, talk more about what's happened today, and get back into Georgia. Also, Brian Snicker, if you're just joining us, a 2-year extension with the Braves. He signs today. Big announcement from the Braves today.
And it's not the big one, but it's one that maybe shows you he's going to get the other award, talking about sporting news. Name's Ronald Acuna, the National League Rookie of the Year for 2018. And I know, Carl, you're one of these baseball writers, so that means maybe that's good. That bodes well for him to beat out Soto from the Nationals.
I think that will the writers will follow that lead, and usually that's the case. So I'm not going to be surprised if and when Ronald Acuna is officially named the Rookie of the Year, and rightfully so. He helped his team win the division and get to the playoffs as good as Soto was. They fell apart. We did not. So I think it's a simple vote, but it may be closer than what we think. Hey, a reminder, Falcon fans, you have a chance to save up to $100 at Kauffman Tire. This season, when the Falcons scored a touchdown, Falcons scored in 3 quarters yesterday. So that means you save $75 off a set of new tires today and today only. Visit KauffmanTire.com, your local Kauffman Tire store, for details. All right, guys, we're going to hear from Coach and see what else he has to say about this team. Also, real quick, and we mentioned this, we'll talk more about it. For guys who were hitting us up, and some guys were saying, listen, great game by Julio, but there's no but. We're winning. I get it. It's hard to ignore. And I said this Friday, Mike, you can't ignore 11 games without a touchdown, but the dude had 10 receptions, should I say, for 143 yards. That's a huge game.
No, look, we're not. Look, we got bigger fish to fry. As long as Julio and we're winning, he's getting those tough yards. What he always does, man, moving the chains, bracketing coverage. The only thing I would love to have seen had Matt been able to check out on that the third and one. Julio had Grimes on him one-on-one. And I was like, oh, boy, I'd love it. But we ran the ball. I mean, I don't know if Matt had the capacity to check out of that play. Regardless, your defense gave up 500 yards of offense to Tampa Bay. You still won the game.
Right.
So we're not going to worry about Julio and his touchdowns. Let's just keep on winning and try to fight our way back in the playoff picture.
It's a Falcon Monday. Dukes and Bell, we'll return after the coaches show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
And 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.